Hi, this is Lindy, the creator and host of Lindy's Audio Cafe, a podcast focused on positive and thought-provoking stories. Life gets busy, and in the race for happiness, we sometimes forget it's often the smaller things in life that truly matter. My podcast is focused on the stories that don't make tabloids, the basics that make you smile, the kindness of people who help make the world a better place. Yeah, we need a bit more of that. But before we get started, please be sure to hit subscribe on your podcast app so you don't miss future episodes. Thanks for listening. And what you're seeing today, you're seeing in color. I don't have it recorded in black and white yet, but I do want to mention that today we are covering the topic of color, and in fact, color blindness. This is a subject that is near and dear to my heart because I live with somebody who's color blind. So we're going to dig into this topic a little bit and share a few stories that will hopefully make us all more aware of what it's like to be a colorblind person. I decided one day to go online and have a look at what it is to be colorblind. And I looked up the definition of it, looked at a few different sites, tried to pick some optical sites that I thought would probably give me the best information or the most accurate information. You always have to be careful when you go online to make sure if you're researching anything medical that you're not getting off in the wrong direction. I was amazed at what I learned when I went on there. I didn't know there was so much to be involved with being colorblind. I guess, you know, if you are colorblind, you might not be able to see pinks or greens or reds, or it might be something on a blue spectrum that you can't see, or some people really can't see any of those shades at all. It's almost like a black and white to them. It's just very many different degrees on the spectrum of colorblindness. It made me so much more aware that there's many people out there that have this, and we don't all see things the same way. We rely so much on color in our day-to-day life. We really do. You know, an example of it, I was at our local hospital last week, and I was having some tests done, and you go into the hospital, and they ask you what you're here for and whether you're here for medical imaging or you're here for lab work or if you're here for respiratory, what kinds of things are you doing? And then they direct you over to an area where there's little tags that you pick up. You get this little teeny tag. It's about this big. You pull it. You go to the front. And then when they call green tag number or whatever, then you go to the front. You get checked in. I thought to myself at that time how hard that would be for somebody who's colorblind. What if they tell you go get the green tag and you can't see the green? Well, luckily at our hospital, I'll give them credit. They're a little bit wiser. And right on the box where you pull the tag, there is a label that says green tag. The yellow one has a label that says yellow tag. So as long as you can read, and if you're directed to that and you can read, then you're okay. You can pull the tag off of there. But I thought about it and said to my partner, you know, wow, I'm really glad they put that on there. That would be difficult. And he said, well, that's only in recent years. It wasn't always that way. And we talked a bit about it. And he mentioned how many times he's been in buildings over the years. And they say, you know, when you get off the elevator, follow this colored line to get to this office or follow that line. And this used to be quite common, you know, in public commercial buildings, you know, in public service buildings, there used to always be lines, follow the line. How hard is that? I was thinking if there's a building where they still do that, if they still say follow the red line, follow the green line, they should make it a pattern line. There should be some kind of specific tape that has polka dots in it or stripes in it, something so you could say, if you're trying to get to such and such place, follow the polka dotted line, follow the stripe line, because then that way you can identify it based on pattern and not on color. I would think that would be a smart way of them to do things now. Maybe I should invent that. I won't plan on that being my retirement package, but I certainly made me think about how things are for somebody trying to survive in the world of color. The issue of color can sometimes come up when it comes to decorating your home or even buying new furniture. Yes, color is a very important thing when you're trying to make a choice. So imagine if you're in a house with somebody who is colorblind. You're picking out your couch and you're talking about the walls. Depends on what the color of your walls are. Do you have hunter green walls, navy blue, ocean blue, turquoise blue, teal blue?
Do you have mustard yellow, lemon yellow, sunflower yellow? Do you have almond white, eggshell white? What colors do you have in your house? Imagine having all that thrown at you, and already you're colorblind. Can't we just have blue? Can't we just have red? Why do we have to have so many shades? Because we like that. For those of us who can see, it's really fun to be able to pick those colors and to be able to have different shades. Yes, I really like teal blue, but for me personally, I like pink and I like green. Those are my two favorite colors. Everywhere you go in my house, if I have a chance to have some pink and green, I will. It's hard to tell, but the walls in here are actually a really light mint green. And I have this, I'll show you this. I got this funky foamy stuff here, and it's actually meant for audio. It's a soundproofing foam, and I've got that all up along the wall here behind my desk. I even have it on my window. I've made these panels that I can stick in the window, so hopefully that blocks out the sound of when the tractor goes by or the dog barks outside. But in the meantime, it's pink, and I love pink and I love green, and my partner does not see pink or green. That can present some challenges. We had to do some renovations on our house over the last couple of years, and they were not planned renovations. Sometimes they are and sometimes they're not, and due to some repairs, sorry, I'm just learning to talk again. Due to some repairs that were needed on the house, we ended up having to take on a siding project. And what was the biggest challenge and choice? Us trying to decide on colors. I'm trying to be sensitive to the fact that he's colorblind and he's seeing them in a different shade than I am. But I'm also being aware that I've got to look at it every day when I come home. I need to like it. And if we turn to sell this home at some point in the future for resale value, it needs to be the right colors. We have to make sure it's something that wouldn't be an eyesore for somebody else. So that was probably our biggest problem, was trying to decide on the colors and something that we could agree upon. Don't get me wrong, there was no fighting. It was just a case of trying to find something that would work. To this day, yeah, I'm not 100% crazy about the colors, but they work, they're okay, they're great, and he's happy and I'm happy. And really, at the end of the day, we're just lucky to be in a home. So sometimes it's all how you look at it. There was a day that I was planting a bunch of plants in the backyard. I had some wonderful flowers, big, big pots that I had of geraniums and pansies, and I'd added some azaleas. And you can get big azalea bushes or small azalea bushes. Mine were small. So I put the azalea bushes in a pot, and he came out in the backyard, and I said, "Hey, check out all the flowers. What do you think?" And he took a look around. He said, "Oh, yeah, this looks really great." And I said, "What do you think of the pink one?" And I was all excited because I bought this new azalea bush and it was full of all these blooms. And he said, "Which one?" And I said, "Oh, it's on the azalea. The azalea is the plant on the end." He goes, "Oh, yeah, I knew that was an azalea. I just can't see the pink." Oh, my goodness. I felt terrible. Like, I felt about this high. Like, what was I thinking? I knew he had issues with pinks and greens. I can't believe I totally slipped that day and I told him to look at the pink plant. I just felt terrible. And that is a mistake that I won't make again, because I realized how I felt and I thought so much about how he probably felt. He's been dealing with it for decades and he kind of brushed it off. But for me, I didn't feel very good. I felt like I had not been sensitive at all. So now I never refer to anything by color. I always refer to it by the location in the house. I'll say, like, it's the plant, it's the fifth one at the end, or it's the smallest one or the bottom one. I try to refer to it by size and not by color. That just seems to me to be the right thing to do. My partner shared a story with me with regards to what it was like for him attending elementary school. Now, this is going back a few decades. I hate to put it this way, but yeah, we're looking at around 60 years ago that this happened. And he was in elementary school. And you know what it's like when you're in kindergarten, grade one, those early grades, and you're often getting coloring projects, especially around the holiday season. You know, Thanksgiving, you're coloring pictures of turkeys. Christmas, you're coloring pictures of candy canes and green Christmas trees and reindeer with a red nose. You know, there's just all these different colors that come into play when you're coloring at school. And he found himself in a bit of a predicament because from time to time the teachers would instruct that you were supposed to color a picture in specific colors. Of course, they're working on, you know, color identification, that sort of thing. I mean, we're learning to read, we're learning to write, you're learning your colors. There's so many basic things that you learn in your primary years. And he wasn't getting it right. Often he would do the coloring, they would ask that they color in a certain color, and he would have one or two colors that were always wrong in it. And he said it was really kind of sad because some of the teachers that he had thought he was becoming defiant. They thought that he was simply ignoring what they were asking him to do and just picking colors on his own. And this went on for a while. He got into some trouble over it. And he said that he actually remembers having an educator say to him that, "You're acting stupid. Quit being so stupid and put the right color in. We've told you how many times." That made me so sad. When he told me that story, I'm like, first of all, nobody should call anybody stupid. There's just no room for that. You should never call anybody stupid, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's in the workplace. Shouldn't do that. That's just wrong. But to have had that happen, and it happened because he had a disability and he was not able to function in a certain task because his eyes weren't doing the same thing as everybody else's. That's really sad that that happened, and I'm so glad that here we are 60 years later, there's a lot more education out there about the issue of color blindness. And I'm hoping that that kind of thing would not happen in our school systems today. And he said it was such a great thing when there was a teacher that came along and concluded he was colorblind. She figured it out that he actually could not see those colors. And once that happened, he said it's like this whole little cloud of heaviness on his shoulders lifted, and now there was a reason why he wasn't getting it right. Imagine how many times that does happen to somebody, whether it's with color blindness or something else, and that's why it's so important to be able to be tolerant when somebody keeps on trying, to not put them down and to not make them feel bad for struggling, because that's what happened to him. And 60 years later, that still sticks with him a little bit. When you're a young child and you're told those things, it sticks with you. And I'm so glad that we're doing so much better with that in this day and age. So I was digging in my sock drawer this morning, and I knew that I was going to be covering the topic of color blindness in this episode, and I decided to yank a few socks out of the drawer and just share some of the colors that I have. So let's have a look here and see what I've got. Well, I have a smoky blue sock. I'll try to lean them forward so you can see better if you're watching the video. They're smoky blue with a silver sparkle. I have a really hot pink pair. These are super bright. They're great because when I'm out on the street and I wear them when I'm riding my bike in the summer, I stand out, but they're also a compression sock. And so these are really good. They're a good support for my legs. And when you're in the over 50 range, sometimes you need those things. I've got, oh, these ones I love. These ones are light blue and they've got a white stripe on the top. They've got all this fur on the inside and I absolutely love them. I got a pink pair of socks, they're furry. I have a black pair, they're furry. And I have another white pair, they're furry. I have this other pair I absolutely love. They're like a variegated knit. They're a soft cotton, and so they don't itch, but I love these socks. They're made by a lady named Janet in the Yukon, who is Janet's an incredible quilter, seamstress, and sock knitter extraordinaire. And I also have Pink Panther socks that came from my cousin Deb, and she's amazing. She knows that I love the Pink Panther, and she sent me these pink and green socks. So I have all these wonderful colored socks. How blessed am I? How lucky am I that I have all these colors and pairs to choose from? My feet are nice and toasty. I recall when we were kids, we used to have a friend of the family's, and he used to come and visit us from time to time, and he often had different colored socks on. You know, you wouldn't have two pairs the same color. And when we were kids, we used to giggle a little bit. I confess we would giggle. And sometimes he'd have a red sock and a green sock, almost like Christmas socks. Or he'd have a red sock and a purple sock. And we'd be peeking and going, "Did you see what color his socks were today?" we think it was kind of funny. Well, in actual fact, we probably should not have been giggling about it. Not a laughing matter. Should never make fun of anybody for what they're wearing. At least we were smart enough to keep it to ourselves and didn't say anything harmful. But I look back on it and I think, oh, that was probably really hard for him. He really couldn't see if his socks were the same color or not. So as a bit of a visual exercise here, for those people who are watching this on my YouTube, I'm going to take the video at this point and change it to black and white. And for those who are listening to my podcast on audio, just try to close your eyes and imagine that everything that we've done right now has been in color. The room behind me has light green walls. I have white pictures with black frames. I have a pink motorcycle helmet in the background. Haven't got rid of it yet. I'm hoping that when my shoulder is someday fixed, I might be able to ride again. So there sits the pink helmet. And now on my desk, I have a pile of colored socks. Maybe I'll put my feet on my desk and see if that helps. But really what you're seeing from this point forward is simply black and white. Everything's black and white. You no longer are looking at hair that is brown with some highlights in it or a little bit of gray in the bottom part. Really what you're seeing is everything in black and white. And if you look at it and think about it, it doesn't change who I am. Whether you saw me in color or whether you saw me in black and white, I'm still Lindy. I'm still the same person on the inside. It doesn't matter what color my socks are. It doesn't matter if they're pink, green, blue, yellow, orange. It doesn't matter what the colors of my wall are in the house. It really doesn't matter. I'm lucky to have a house. I'm lucky to share a house with somebody that I get along really well with and that I care very much about. And I'm lucky to have all these socks to put on my feet. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what color somebody is. What matters is who they are and who they are on the inside. Mom always said to us when we were growing up, don't judge your friends based on color. If you turned all of us inside and out, we'd all still be the same color on the inside. And thanks, Mom. That was really good advice. I'm really glad that you taught us that at a young age. So I'm going to wrap this up here. I'd like to thank everybody for joining me here today for episode number 5. Coming up on our next episode, it's going to be a little bit of an animal show. That's right. And it's going to be fun. And I'm going to be joined by a few other people sharing a bit of fun stories about the animals that are very much an important part of their lives. So do make sure that you tune back again for episode 6 for the animal show. And if we're tuning out here, I'd just like to mention that if you're on video, I'm going to continue this video with just a bit of a short slideshow at the very end, no talking in it, just simply to share some colorful photos that I've taken in our area over recent months. I hope that you enjoy them, and thank you so much to everyone for joining in today. Remember that smiles do come in all languages and all colors. Have a great day, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to click like and share it so others can enjoy it also. Join the Lindy's Audio Cafe podcast group for updates. Oh, and positive reviews are always welcome as well. Check the show notes for updated links. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.